We are beginning a new teaching series this morning. It's called The Hero's Quest, The Lost Gold of, you would say, Havilah. It's Havilah. That's the fan, because if, yeah, it is. Well, the Hebrew anyways. The Hebrew is Havilah, but if you do that too much, then that happens. People are like spitting on me, thanks. And so it's kind of fun, because if you're like, what is that? We will talk about what that is, and it's actually found in the scriptures, in the Bible, but they were shooting for that Zelda 1980s, 90s feel video game. So some people, maybe you're enjoying that. One of the pastors of Harbor Churches, we're one campus of five right now, and we've got a couple other campuses coming, but one of our pastors, I was looking at his message for this morning, and he is like doing a deep dive into Zelda. He's like, did you know there are 15 different Zeldas, and they're gonna, and it looked like this, and he is like all these characters, and I'm reading it going, And he's like, this is gonna be so much fun. I go, it's gonna be good. I played Zelda once. I don't have anything for you there. But it's a good time. But we're not going to talk about, Zelda's not in the Bible, but the whole theme is kind of, we'll get there, this hero's quest. And so we're going to spend 5 weeks digging into this. This morning, we're going to kind of get, I'm going to give an overview of kind of the series, but I also want to kind of dig into the narrative of the scriptures, the move of the biblical narrative. There is a movement. There is an invitation for each of us to participate in this story called life. And there is an invitation for all of us in this. So I'd love to pray, and then we're going to dig in this morning. Gracious God, we bless you for this morning, for this opportunity to gather, no matter where we are on the spectrum of life, where we fall in this understanding of who you are and who you're not, whatever our background is in the church, within faith, we are all here this morning, and that's a gift. And so, God, now our desire is to hear from you, to be drawn into who you are and what you're calling us to, God. And so may the posture and meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth bring honor and glory to you and you alone, my Lord, my rock, and my Savior. We pray all of this in the name of Christ. Amen. And amen. Okay, so we're going to begin with the idea that maybe you can remember when life was simpler. Remember when life was simpler. Maybe you can remember when the bills, there were less of them, and they were smaller. Maybe you can remember then, or maybe for you it's like remembering back when it was just high school. That's all you had was school, friends, and Friday night football. I remember when it was just that, or before kids. Remember before kids when, you know, it was just him or it was just her, and it was an endless garden of possibilities for the two of you. It was kind of like paradise. Eden, maybe, is your thinking. It's like, oh, I can remember. But then disruption, chaos, in some ways. He cheated. She lied. We can't afford this. Doesn't my boss realize that I have a family at home? I wish I could go back. Maybe you found yourself going, I just wish I could go back to rest in the treasure of what was before there was this. Well, here's the thing. You don't really want to go back. You don't really want to go back because you're not now who you were then. She's not the same girl. He's not the same boy. And honestly, it wasn't that simple. It's what you're remembering is the goodness, the calm. We would say the shalom of that, the peace, that you felt. That's what you recall, the peaceful connection. And so the search is now even for the gold of harmony, rhythm. This isn't about going back there for that. It's about finding that here, now, today, as we are. Because this is about the restoration of us and others, us in creation, us in our very selves, and us in the divine. It's about having all four of those relationships put back together, humming in some sort of harmony, in some sort of rhythm. So in this series, what we're going to explore are those four relationships. Because the reality is, we are disconnected from others. You know this, you feel this. We're disconnected from others because it feels like today we start with division. Because, well, he's a Republican, or she's a Democrat. So of course we're going to start with the divide. And there seems to be more divide ever now than in history. And so we start with division, which often then is actually then we move towards violence. And violence for the pure idea of destruction. Whether it is verbal or worse, the idea is it's us against them rather than us being put back together with them. Or we obsess over the amount of likes that we digitally receive from people, and we can't receive the person who is standing in front of us who just desperately wants to be known. And so on my jog, one of my routes in running, I came across this picture and I took it on the run. Life over likes, and I caught that and I'm like, oh, that's good. That's good. And then I was showing my wife and I thought, oh, I love that idea of just participating, living life over getting the likes. And then she told me, yeah, this is a hair place. And she's like, I know a bunch of people who go get their hair cut and then go get their picture taken in front of it and post it on social media to get likes. And I'm like, that is something. Because what's the deal? And I'm like, oh no, I saw the message and I just wanted to grab it for my own well-being. But we get this. We're disconnected from others and we wonder how do we put it back together. And then we realize we're also disconnected from creation. Hopefully we are aware that more and more we're disconnected from creation, that we realize everything seems to be artificial. So much artificial in our world. Our food is chemically soaked. I listened to a podcast a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about people who make perfumes are also the same people who make stuff to put into meat in order to give us a taste that it is greater than what it actually is, and so that it teaches our brain to think this burger is fantastic, and it's actually not the burger that's fantastic. It's the chemicals they put in the burger to make it taste like a burger. Which, what? And I thought, well, that sounds frightening. And then they talked about how they can actually make a burger then taste like cotton candy, and all these things. And so they were talking, well, maybe why don't we make broccoli taste like cotton candy? And I'm like, well, the chemical you put in broccoli, you just wrecked the broccoli anyways, for the love of all. But we get this. We've exchanged the flower bulb for the light bulb. We ignore the glow of the sun for the glow of the screen. We exchange stewarding the soil for pillaging it for oil, and the earth is aching. We are disconnected from ourselves, from our very being. We're lonelier than ever. We're more depressed than ever. Fear is our society's signature. It seems like we just run in fear, We experience depression at a level. We are more medicated in this country than any other place in the world. And yet this country has more resources. So what is the disconnect in us? And then underneath all of this, if you will, is the disconnection we feel from the divine. We feel disconnected from the divine. And so then we begin to ask questions, well, do I just need a new devotional? Do I need to sing the song a little bit louder or maybe just one more time to try and get this thing to click? Or why does God feel so distant? And yet, we have this ancient story, the scriptures, this big winding library that tells this narrative that has never been more relevant than now. And it reveals actually a fresh perspective in the midst of our stale environment. This story is full of an invitation to harmony for all of us and for all of these relationships. And we long for it and we desperately need it. So what I'd love to do this morning is I want to look at the beginning of the story and actually just look at how it moves and the invitation it is for all of us. So we're going to begin in Genesis, which is the first book in the scriptures that we come across. And we're going to begin in chapter 2, but we're going to do a fun thing where we kind of look at chapter 1 and chapter 2, which tell the same story, but in very different ways. So we begin in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. When we want to talk about harmony, we see it says, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the human he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." In this picture, we already see it's harmony between humanity and creation. There is a harmony. There is a participation. And then verse 18 says, the Lord God had said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Verse 22 to 23, it says, "Then the Lord God made a woman." The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh," which is a Hebrew idiom that means where I am weak, they are strong, and where they are weak, I am strong. That's what that means. And so in this, it's summed up in the Hebrew azer kenedgo, which we will not do a deep dive this morning, but when this helper suitable, helper is azer and suitable is kenedgo, and it's about this partnership, this strength where you are weak. And so it's this incredible picture of us-ness when we're in harmony with the other. And then Genesis 2:25 says this, "Then the Lord God made a woman." The man said this, "Now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." We said that. Great, 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 great. Verse 25, do we have? "The man and his wife were both naked." Do we have that one? Oh, that's the wrong verse. That's all. Actually, verse 25, you all have caught that, and you're like, he doesn't know how to read his Bible. It's better. It says, "The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame," which is to be that we're now comfortable in our own skin. That's what it's getting at. So what does that mean to be in harmony and rhythm with our self? Because that's another massive divide that we have with ourself. And I was listening to some teachings over the last couple weeks on that idea of how we are disconnected from our very self, which we'll do a deep dive into all of these. But this one, the amount of material we essentially have on the subject of our relationship with ourself. It's going to be a really enjoyable week in some ways, and I say week because we'll begin the teaching on Sunday and wrap it Thursday evening. So get ready for that one. It's going to be great. Some of you think I'm exaggerating. Verse 7 of chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And then it goes on to say, and they walked, the divine and humanity, in the garden in the cool of the day. What would it look like to be put back together? Because all of these are pictures of harmony. This one of us and the divine, us and God. To experience wholeness. Shalom is the Hebrew word, and shalom isn't just an absence of conflict, it's a wholeness in being. It's a completeness. It's a harmony. And so what I want to do now is look at the movement from the very beginning, Genesis 1, and how we got to some of these stunning pictures, but there is a truth that needs to be unlocked that we see in the move from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2. So the way the story begins, Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning, God created, circle that, the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, now, that word God in the Hebrew is the word Elohim. Go ahead and say Elohim. Elohim. Now here's the beauty of it. It's a singular God with a plurality. Everybody just went, well, I mean, I just saw the, you know, Apple death wheel spinning in people's eyes. Yeah, yeah. So because the I am on the end there, that means a plural. So it's actually, but it's talking about a singular God that has a plurality. So there is a relationship within this God. And then create, the word create is the word bara, and it is only used of divine action. The only place it's used in the Hebrew is that only God does this. This kind of creating that is of divine being. And then spirit, when we get to that, is now the divine is an animating wind or breath. The word there is ruach for spirit in the Hebrew, and it means wind, breath, spirit, breathing. And then God said, now the divine is word. Words are creating. And God is using through words to create worlds. And so in the first three verses of the scriptures, we experience God and all of this creativity and beauty and bigness, and you could spend the rest of your life just studying that, and you won't get to the end of it. Genesis 1 is a poem. It's poetry. The way it's written with a certain rhythm, and there is a movement, and its style is poetry. It's beautiful. And yet it's kind of abstract, or quite abstract, and can feel distant. Because the poem is written as if the divine is far away and is creating from a distance. And so there is this kind of distance, and it feels like the vine's creating in a very magical, mystical way from afar. But then the poem is swapped out for a narrative. Genesis 2 is story. It's written very differently, and you actually see some similarities within the story, but there are also some differences, and these differences are significant. So we should look at those. In verse 7, which we had looked at, it says, then the Lord God formed a human from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, in Genesis 1, it just said God, Elohim. Now we get this capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which in the Hebrew is, we often translate it Yahweh or Lord, but it means, the best we can come up with is to be, becoming, or the sound of breathing. So what that is, though, the whole idea is the divine is now described in very personal language and is as close as your next breath. So in Genesis 1, it's like this distant God. Genesis 2 is now it's right up close. It's as close as your next breath, your very breathing, which this alone tells us. It completely obliterates the argument. Is there a God or is there not a God? Are you breathing? Then I'm not interested in arguing. Whatever it is you do or do not believe, you're breathing, you're here, So already let's take the next step in the conversation. Because my guess is whatever God people don't believe in, the best question is when someone says, yeah, I don't believe in God. Great, tell me about the God you don't believe in. And then when they start telling you about the God they don't believe in, my guess is you'll go, oh, I don't believe in that God either. And if that is the God, most likely too, my goodness, that description you just gave, probably the best response to that God is atheism. Because it's destructive and chaotic. And I don't think anyone should probably believe in that God. So already though, we have breathing. So this intimate language. And then it says this now personal God formed man, not created, but now we get the word form, which is the word yatsar. Go ahead and say yatsar in the Hebrew, and it means the intimate touch of an artist shaping and molding clay, where it says the dust. That is best translated often as clay, and you see it throughout the Hebrew scriptures, which we often call the Old Testament, and it's actually clay. And so now you have this personal God in this intimate shaping and molding of clay and making something. And some of you just went to the movie Ghost and Patrick Swayze for some reason. Please, let's stay here, you weirdo minds. Okay? My mind went there when I did that. That's why I said it out loud. That's not okay. We're going to stay with this. Good heavens. An artist shaping and molding clay. It's personal. It's beautiful. Come on, bring it back. Bring it back. Holy thoughts. Then the word breathe. The word breathed is the word nefak. Go ahead and say nefak. It's to give up in order for the other to be filled up. So when it says the divine breathed into the nostrils, the breath of life. The divine gave up. That is the divine sacrificed so that you and I could be and become. Right from the very beginning, this divine being was sacrificing for you and I to take the next step, to take the next breath. The divine is already sacrificing for us to become. So the movement of the story is to more and more intimacy and dynamism. You see, the movement is towards intimacy and dynamism, more action, animation. It's a movement of harmony within relationship. It's when everything and everyone is becoming more. There is a movement towards more. And what we are learning then is it's not about going back there, but being put back together here while we move forward toward the restoration of all things. And if you were to go to the end of your Bible, you have a letter or a book called Revelation that actually describes a putting back together. And it actually feels and looks a lot like the beginning, except it's become more, but it's now whole. And that's why we don't go back. Instead, we move forward while participating and putting everything back together. And so now, what's with the title, Hero's Quest? In Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it goes like this. It says, a river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah. There it is, where there is gold. That's in the scriptures. And so then there it talks about three other rivers that flow from there. So the idea, though, is there are four headwaters. And what this is, it's just about four rivers. It's a metaphor. It's a picture. Four rivers. There are four key central relationships that we have. Us and God. Us and creation. Us and others. Us and ourselves, our very selves. And so it's getting at that. And here's the beautiful thing. That word chavila, it's, yes, a location, but guess what it also means? Circle. Circle. And so the whole idea is this is about a streams, rivers, that essentially return to harmony. It's this circle. It's this movement. And in the scriptures, it's where we get the word, what we've called perichoresis. Perichoresis is how we would explain the God who moves and the God who is in relationship. And so peri means around or circle. And choresis is where we get the word choreography. It means to dance. It means to dance around or dance in a circle. That's what it means. And that's where we get the whole concept of Trinity. But it's a picture. It's a metaphor. Perichoresis, the circle dance, because we are made whole. We are put back together when we are dancing in rhythm with the divine. When we are dancing in rhythm with others. When we are dancing in rhythm with creation. And when we are dancing in rhythm with ourselves. When this is all being put back together, when we are participating in this dance, we are becoming more and more whole. More and more complete. There is a harmony and a rhythm to that, and we get invited into that. All throughout the scripture, there's always this invitation to rhythm, to dancing. And so what we're listening to is, what is the soundtrack of the universe? What is the divine saying? What is the divine summoning us, calling us to? Is it to connect with one another rather than disconnect? With creation, to learn how to get our fingers dirty again and to shape and mold creation and help steward it forward. And with ourselves, it's this idea of being comfortable in our own skin, becoming whole. And then, of course, with the divine. And what is really, really important in this, so we're going to take the next 4 weeks in each relationship, we're going to do a deep dive into each one. Next week, we're going to start, we're going to look with, what does it mean to be put back together between us and God? What does that relationship look like? But it's important that we wrestle with the tension that there is a fracture. Of course, we experience and feel a disconnect. But why this isn't just God's problem to fix? Because a lot of people think that it's just God's problem to fix, and what that immediately does is abdicate responsibility to something or somewhere else. You see how that already is? We just sit back and do whatever we want, and God, why don't you fix this? And maybe you've even heard people say, I don't believe in God because if there is a God, why doesn't he fix, make? Why would he allow that kind of thing? As if there is God and then there is everything else that's separate and we have no connection. Well, maybe that break that you're frustrated with, who did that? Did we? Is there more going on? Are we invited to participate with this God in putting all things back together? Because that's the invitation of Scripture. And so we need to sit and experience some of that tension and ask those questions, and then we're going to do a deep dive into each one of these relationships. We're going to begin with God and us. Then we're going to look at us in creation. Then us and others. And then us and ourselves and what that looks like. So I want to have us spend a little bit of time just reflecting, sitting with that. And in one, we're gonna sing a song together, but we're also going to just listen to a song that we played right up front that was kind of just a call in. And some of you are here as we played this song. And I want us just to sit and listen to this because this song to me creates such a, it's stunning and it creates a tension. And maybe you'll recognize this song. It's about 20 years old. And the guy who wrote it, he was 16 years old when he wrote this song. And actually what the song is about he had lost a relative, someone he loved, who had recently passed away, who was married for 40 years. And as a 16-year-old, he said, this person that was like a village elder to me was gone. And I began to just wrestle with, what do we do when we have pain? And I wonder what this person who has lost, what they would say to us. And he was thinking from the other side of death, what would they say to the loved ones about, boy, I tell you, if you could understand what it means to be put back together, what would it look like for us to keep going together even though I'm gone? What is this? And to us, it's that tension of, yeah, things aren't the way we know they should be. But how do we wrestle with that and not hide from it, ignore it, but how do we step into the divine invitation to participate with God and putting it back together and moving it into harmony in the midst of the pain? So I'd love to pray, then I'd love for us to just kind of sit with the song, and then we'll be invited to sing together. Gracious God, you are good. You are described as love. You are described as a mother. You are described as a father. You are described as a rock, firm, strong. You are good, God. And you've created out of and in love. And we are here, we're breathing now because you have sacrificed and you have given. And so we desire more than anything to be put back together, to see our world put back together. Because the chaos is around us. It's constantly being highlighted and shoved in our face. We can't escape it, and we don't want to. So we need you, God. We need to hear from you, and we need to step into that invitation to participating, putting things back together. So we trust, God, that you will put us back together. We start with that, and then we move in these relationships toward restoration. So God, I pray now as people sit here and they're feeling all sorts of things. They have maybe people's faces and names in mind. There's a disconnect. They recognize the disconnect they have maybe with themselves, God. The disconnect with creation. Maybe you, God. Maybe people are here because they just want to give this or you one more chance. So we desire to hear from you or continue to hear from you. God, may they sense, experience your intimate personal presence with us now.